I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Derry Show is on the air.
Michael Derry, I ran into your mama the other day down here on 16th Street. We was getting our fingernails did and our pedicures. And your mama said, I won't say nothing about your funky ass ashy feet if you won't say nothing about my curled up toenails. I told her, girl, you got a deal. We had us a good time. And them little Vietnamese women were squatted down, you know, doing our feet with the cheese graters. And we was talking about your crazy auntie and how your dad is there, and he sounds like he's feeling pretty good these days. She's so proud of your boys, Marquesa and Rolade. I can't remember Barack Obama's your name. No, but your whole family is blessed. God love them, and your brother, he's done lost so much weight. She said the women's is just hitting him, just grabbing the ass and trying to catch him shoulders and pull him in, honey. They're trying to reel him in like a catfish. And I told him, I said, if Michael Bear would just, you know, quit eating so damn much, he could lose 30 pounds. He could lose another 20 pounds if he shaved that beard off. And but that's not my business. I don't need to be judging people. I can't fit in a bathtub. Who am I going to talk about their weight problem, honey? Lord. Anyway, we got up ready to go after we got our feet and our hands did. And your mama gave that woman a $5 tip. I said, for real? And your mama said, I tip all kind of people. I tip everybody that serves me. Oh, my goodness. I said, thank God for white people. Otherwise, nobody would ever get a gratuity.
Sharon, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead, dear.
Hi, Michael. I heard Rand Paul say something yesterday on air, and I wish he'd said it earlier in the campaign about Herschel Walker. He said, if you elect Herschel Walker, you will be electing someone who will help me on my committee duties. And we all know that Rand Paul is hot on the trail of the China Wuhan virus. And he's hot on the trail of Dr. Fauci. And we know.
You can take it. I'll wait. Go ahead.
We want that investigation to continue. And he said, by electing me, you will help me to continue. By electing Herschel Walker, you'll help me to continue that investigation. And he said, by electing Warnock, you are going to hinder my investigation. Please vote for Herschel Walker. And you are so right. The people of Georgia cannot be so stupid. They got bamboozled. They got bamboozled by the media. They got bamboozled by the country club Republicans. And I'll tell you who's leading the pack. It's Mitch McConnell up there. He thinks he's president of the United States, and he makes all the rules and all the Senate rules, and he's ruling the country from his position. And I mean, they have so tainted our whole entire election system. I don't know how we're going to fix it. It's so entangled and tainted. And I remember what Rush used to say. He said, it's the job of Republicans to lose with dignity. And it's all about the rules of the country club set of politicians up there in D.C. Mitch McConnell leads the pack.
Well, Rush, as usual, was spot on. And this idea of losing with dignity is a driving force for so many Republicans. And I'll tell you this, without going into the deep psychological study, on a surface level, I've figured it out. This doesn't happen with poor, working class, and even middle class Republican voters. The disconnect is this loser mentality is at the top of the Republican Party, not just the party apparatus, but the big donors. And without going too deep into this, here it is. There is a sense of guilt for wealthy white people. The game has worked. They feel guilty over their success. They feel guilty that they have so much. They feel guilty when they see other poor people. And so deep down, they don't want to seek the brass ring. That's part of it. They don't want it seen by the masses that they won, that their guy won. But there's more to it than that. There is a sense that if they always win, then there will be blowback to that. And there is a sense that it's good the other side wins some. It's healthy to have those Democrats in there. We need to abide Sheila Jackson Lee because she keeps the people from rising up and having revolution. When in fact, that's the opposite. You should destroy Sheila Jackson Lee, beat her, beat every person like her. Barack Obama was elected by many white people, including Republicans, who felt like, well, we need to have a black president, and this is the best one we're ever going to get. You're going to be stuck with a Jesse Jackson if you don't elect this one. And so they voted for him on the sole basis that he's black or half black, whatever you want to say. And the idea was, then we can get past this race thing and we don't have to feel guilty all the time. We have to be told we're evil all the time. Well, when you elect someone on the basis that they're black, their blackness is their qualification and it is their mission. See? When you elect someone on the basis of a thing, that thing defines them. And that's what it did. Do we have better race relations in this country before or after Barack Obama? Because we were promised that was going to be the silver bullet. That was going to solve the problem. Now, when you look at the wealthy Republicans and you look at working class Republicans, now you see the split. Now you see what happened with Donald Trump. Donald Trump mobilized working class Republicans, and that frightens the plantation owner. Make no mistake. The rich Republican that sends the big check to Mitch McConnell and has no problems with McConnell picking and choosing who our Republican candidates will be, that rich Republican hates the Tea Party. He hates its later incarnation called MAGA. He hates Donald Trump for organizing them. He hates the grassroots. He is as much a plantation owner mentality with you as the slave that needs to vote for his party, as any white liberal who views the blacks as being his foot soldiers and slaves who need to know their place. The Republican Party is just as bad as the Democrat Party in having the haves and the have-nots, the insiders and the people who need to know their place. And that's why they yank the reins ever so often. Yeah, you need to feel it in your mind. You need to know they're in charge. Mitch McConnell and his people are in charge, and you're not. Brigade.
Activate the Michael Berry Show.
That eternal fate has turned its back on here. It's too late. 713-999-1000. Speaking of 98-year-olds, Karen writes, Czar, I have heard your praise of Mr. Petru many times, especially with elderly clients. My mom is 98 and had brain surgery in early October. She spent a week in the hospital and then another 2.5 weeks in a rehab hospital. I was concerned that she would never be able to physically get back to where she was before the surgery. What kind of shape was she in at 98 that you're trying to get her back to? Ramon, no offense, but if you had brain surgery tomorrow and you were laid up and your skull was split open and all that, I wouldn't think, boy, if Ramon could get back to where he was, because where you are is not that far above where you'd be laid up, right? And this one was 98. Like, boy, I hope she gets back to, you know, riding bikes with Lance. Imagine how good a shape she had to be in. Even though I couldn't afford it, I signed her up for the initial package of 25 visits with Mr. Petru. Gabriel, that's one of his trainers, came out and began working with her immediately. We're about halfway through our visits, and the results, nothing short of amazing. She's pretty amazing for 98 years old anyway, but she is walking, and she has returned to doing her basic household chores and self-care as before. She fusses about the workout, but looks forward to Gabriel's visits and brags to the grandkids about what all he has her doing. Thanks for continuing to put forward quality businesses for listeners to have a guide for the best. Can you imagine her grandkids? I was going to say if they're teenagers, but if she's 98, in small towns, you do it in 20-year increments. She's 98, her kids are 78, and their kids are 58. But nowadays, people wait longer to have kids. In Orange, by the time you were 20, you had kids. So you could just mark the generation by a score. But isn't it interesting how important the mental aspect of this is? If you're 98 and want to get back in the game versus if you're 98 and sit around. You ever talk to somebody and you hadn't seen in a while? Hey, John, how you doing? Well, you know, I had surgery on my back in February. Yeah, that's almost a year ago. Why are you still talking about it? Yeah, I had surgery, you know, back in February. Well, yeah, but is that what's fine? You know, my mom died a couple years ago. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, okay, well, grieve and move on. Yeah, she died, you know, cleaning up her estate and all, getting her affairs in order. How long did that take? And then you ask, what are you doing?
I got to deliver jokes this way now.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Where does this even come from? First of all, you've misspelled words. We couldn't decide if we wanted to cremate or bury Grandma, so we decided to let her live. Did you make that up yourself? The problem with that, half our audience is over the age of 80, and only about 10% of them would find that joke funny. A lot of old people, that hits too close to home. No. This woman was 98 years old and had brain surgery, mind you, last month, and she's back to it working out. I tell Petra I want to know about every new client you get, especially the old ones. There was one the other day, she's 23 and collegiate athlete, and her mom heard about it, so she moved back home because she can't play this season, and so she's going to try to rehab and get back into shape for next year. And okay, that's interesting. That's what I would expect as a trainer that you're working with. But when you tell me somebody's 98 and had brain surgery, holy wow, now you have my attention. My friend Arturo Boada owns Arturo's on Delmonte at Voss. He had Arturo's in Uptown Park, and then he had, was it Solero? He had a restaurant that was named top restaurant in the country by Esquire magazine about 20, little over, maybe 25 years ago. Arturo, he had Beso on Westheimer. Anyway, Arturo's opening joke, if people ask him where he's from, because he has a thick accent, is that he's half Colombian and half Italian. And so he doesn't know whether to laugh or cry. But he is he's a phenomenal chef. And I think this is his best restaurant he's ever had. Anyway, so we text back and forth, and he had vertigo. And so my wife and I were in one night having dinner, and he was talking about this vertigo and how much it's causing him problems. And my father-in-law had vertigo for a couple of years before he passed. And it sounds like something, it doesn't sound like that big a deal, but apparently a lot of people get this where in the mornings, especially when they wake up, they have to sit on the side of the bed for a very long period of time. It could be an hour or more, because if they stand up, they get dizzy to the point of extreme nausea. Ramon, do you say nausea or nausea? Just either way, both words. Okay. I'll say nausea. All right. So they'll get extreme nausea. And he was getting that, and it was causing him problems. He'd be in the kitchen. I mean, he's not a chef who runs around out front. He's back in the kitchen cooking. And it was, we saw him, he was standing with his hand, because he has a kitchen that has the pass, you know, the opening where you can see through there and they pass the food through. And you could see he was just leaning on the counter for a while. And he's too young to have this happen. So he came out and sat down with us, and I asked him what was going on. And he said, well, I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com. 409-788-PIPE. 409-788-PIPE. Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010. You got this vertigo, and it's really bad. So my wife started telling before my father-in-law passed that he had vertigo, and it was really affecting his confidence. It was bothering him. He was an active guy, and you know what he did about it and all this. Anyway, so a couple weeks later, which was, I guess, I don't know, a month or two ago, Arturo sends a picture, and his head is split from one ear to the other ear, and these staples. And when I say staples, I don't mean like swing line. I mean big old, like, roofing staples holding his head together and split across the top. Plus, when somebody has hair and all of a sudden they're shaved, they already look like a cancer patient, right? And I think to myself, man, that was cancer surgery. I can't imagine Arturo got up and he's 55 years old. And that woman's 98.
You've got...
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
The Michael Berry Show.
We'll be right back.
our Baron of Booking, saw a Shark Tank episode with Mitch Allen, the founder and head elf of HireSanta.com. And there have been some updates to this. CNBC has had the story that there is a national shortage of Santas. Ramon, did you know that? A national shortage of Santas. And as you good folks know, when we look at our, when we plot our graph, supply and demand, when supply decreases and demand remains the same or increases, that drives the prices up. Just as if supply increases, but demand remains the same, that drives the price down, which is why we're pushing for more drilling. Because if we can increase the supply, the demand remains the same, the prices would drop. But why is there a shortage of Santa Clauses? Mitch Allen, the founder and head elf of HireSanta.com, is our guest to tell us. Mitch?
Hey, thanks for having me today. And I wish we could just drill for some more Santas, but that's not possible.
Not gonna happen.
It takes a while.
All right.
Not going to happen.
So first of all, how did you get into this business?
Well, I'm a lifelong entrepreneur, and I've started many companies, mostly internet companies, but probably 15 years ago, my executive assistant, one of my companies, asked me to dress up like Santa. Well, if you, though you can't see me, I look more like an elf than I
do. Yeah, I'm looking at you. You don't look like Santa Claus to me.
Well, I was a terrible looking Santa at the time, and but I had a great time. It was such a great experience, and I even was Santa for my young children at the time, that is cookie decorating party, and you know, it just the reflected or the magnified love that children have at Christmas and towards Santa was really just an amazing experience. I fell in love with being Santa. And I'm an all-in guy, though I quickly became a much better-looking Santa. Think Tim Allen in the Christmas Claus movies. And I actually started appearing as Santa, started people paying me to be Santa, and I had too much business. So in 2012, I started HireSanta.com, and now we staff Santa Claus entertainers around the world. We have thousands of Santas in our database, and we bring the love and joy of Christmas to millions of people every year.
Did you ever see that movie with Billy Bob Thornton as the drunk Santa?
You mean the movie Bad Santa?
Bad Santa. Boy, that's funny because you don't see that coming. I mean, that takes everything that is good and decent and puts the human element behind it. That's pretty funny
well,
stuff.
Well, yeah, we don't. And here at Hire Santa, we actually get some requests for Bad Santa, but we don't do that. We are all about sort of the wholesome image of Santa.
I see your website. And so tell me what the actual business is. You are a broker of information. You connect people that want to be Santa with a guy who is Santa, and you have a system for this is what it'll cost, and this is where he shows up, and the like.
Yeah, that's close. So we're a Santa Claus staffing agency or an event planning agency, depending on what services you need. We do everything from a simple home visit. You want Santa to come on Christmas Eve to your home or office, we can do that. Or if you want Santa for like a mall type or a big retailer, you need Santa at multiple locations full season. And full season means from early November through Christmas Eve. You need Santa to staff sort of a traditional mall setting. Or you'll want to put on a big parade or a big event, a single day or a full season. Our executive producers and team can help put that on as well. So we're really a holiday event staffing company, though our milk and cookies is still just Santa Claus.
I notice on your website you call these people by the city they're in and you refer to them as Real Beard Santa. Are there people who go out of Santa Claus that are taping on the beard?
Yeah, you know, the vast majority of our Santas are real bearded Santas. That's what the market has demanded of us and other entertainers. That really only happened in the early 80s when we started to see real bearded Santas. Before then, it was definitely just sort of a fake bearded or designer bearded Santa Claus entertainer. And so, yes, real bearded Santa is what our customers expect of us.
So I think the blonde lady is the one who struck a deal with you. I haven't seen the episode, but I read what Brad wrote about it when you presented on Shark Tank. Is that right?
Yeah. So we got a deal with Barbara Corcoran. She's the was the real estate developer out of New York City, and she's been on Shark Tank since season one, and she's been a great partner. We got a deal with her. We actually even did an update in Bloomingdale's, New York City, the following year. So we've been on Shark Tank twice, and it was just a great experience.
So she came in as an investor?
Yes, yes. And she's still part of the Hire Santa family.
So what is the upside? I mean, presumably you can scale this?
Yeah, you know, this business is different than some of my other businesses that I've had in terms of scale. But the advantages of having a Shark, and particularly Barbara, is just able to bounce ideas off of her. She's an incredibly gifted marketer and able to see what's going on within particular markets. And so being able to have that person in your corner is a great gift. In addition, having her as a partner, as well as being on Shark Tank, really gives you visibility. And even though those episodes... Sure. Were filmed a number of years ago, they get repeated on yep. CNBC multiple times a year, as
That's
well
where
as during the holiday season.
There's a whole documentary about the fact about the number of people who went on Shark Tank and quote unquote failed. They didn't get a deal, or they turned down a deal that you would have thought they took. And it turns out, what really happened is they used that as an opportunity to promote what they're doing, which is quite fascinating. HireSanta.com.
This is...
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
The Michael Berry Show.
The Supreme Court today, where they will hear oral arguments in Moore versus Harper, which is a test of the independent state legislature theory, which is the idea that the Constitution gives state legislatures nearly unfettered authority to regulate federal elections within that state with little to no interference from state courts. Depending on whether the justices, or a majority of them, agree with that theory and how broadly they choose to interpret it, this has the potential to upend federal elections by basically eliminating, for all intents and purposes, all oversight of those elections by state courts. So each state would administer their own elections for federal office, to federal office, as they see fit, without any judicial oversight. Whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing is up to you. But it's a big change. Supreme Court Justice Nathan Hecht, this is the state Supreme Court, by the way, has called this the biggest federalism issue in a long time. Maybe. Ever. There is a case right now. Running a small business is so much harder than we, the general public, can imagine. You go into a restaurant, for instance. I use restaurants a lot because they're easy. We all have a restaurant story. We don't all know about running a valve manufacturer. And when you go in, you're looking at the menu,
the decor, where's the restroom. You might even notice the lighting or the sound, the general vibe, quality of the food, what kind of people go there. Is it too cold, or do they lack air conditioning? The clank of the plates. Those sorts of things, if you're really attentive to the details of a restaurant, are about where we end up. But if you know the owner and you go to talking to them, they generally are not going to talk about the big picture of what's going on in the restaurant that day. If you go up, "Hey, Bob, how you doing?" "The next door neighbor here is trying to sue me because our people are parking in his lot, and I keep telling him our lease says we can park there." And that's all he can think about. And if he didn't focus on that detail with such intensity and resolve that issue and just took everything as it came, he wouldn't make it. It requires an eye for detail and an attention to detail that most people will never have. And as a customer, you don't want to hear him talk about that. You're just there for an experience. One of the last things, a good server at a restaurant should never tell you what kind of day they're having. Their boyfriend problems, their money problems, their car broke down on the way. We don't want to hear that. We came in to get away from the problems of our day, not to assume yours. And you certainly don't want to talk to the owner, because more often than not, they're not there to celebrate, "Hell, fellow, well met." They're constantly putting out fires. That is the business. Whether that's employees, customers, neighbors, the government, regulators, and the like. So with that in mind, imagine that you own a restaurant. And imagine that as your restaurant is operating, let's make it a pizza joint. Imagine that, well, let's just use the example of what's actually happening. Star Pizza. Star Pizza, fantastic pizza, huh? Your favorite? Your all-time favorite pizza? My God. Have mercy. Well, compose yourself, because this is not a good story. Star Pizza has a guy named James Higginbotham, who is an alleged serial trespasser. You might be thinking, well, how do you trespass against a business that's open to the public? These doors must remain unlocked during business hours. That's there for a reason. You can't stand at the door and go, "Well, that's a gay person. He kind of swishes, but that guy seems pretty straight. We'll let him in." You can't do that. You take all comers. Well, James Higginbotham doesn't just trespass. The reason he's trespassing is because they have an order against the turd for coming in, walking over to the tables of children, and helping himself to their pizza. As you can imagine, that doesn't go very well. It doesn't go over very well with the children, and as a result, their parents. Judge Bo Miller entered Star Pizza's temporary injunction against serial trespasser James Higginbotham. The restaurant has taken Higginbotham's aggressive trespassing into its own hands and filed a lawsuit against him after he repeatedly entered the restaurant and stole food from children. His criminal history in Harris County? Oh, it's not good. He's got a long criminal history. Let's see, I've got it somewhere here. Ah, here we go. Mr. Higginbotham, just this year, he's been in jail for criminal trespass. He made his bond, and in the last few years, he has had an evading arrest, criminal trespass, indecent exposure. So I guess him stealing your kid's pizza is the least of what he could do. Terroristic threat with fear of imminent danger, criminal mischief, trespassing on property, indecent exposure. Oh, this fella likes to show his junk. Trespassing, trespassing. Oh my God, I didn't scroll down. There's probably 30 trespassings. So Star Pizza has filed a lawsuit against this guy. Apparently he does this at Hooters too. So what do? This guy just keeps coming and you call the cops and all that. You can't shoot him. What do you do? Everybody that wanted to judge Kyle Rittenhouse for going down and defending the guy who asked him to defend his parking lot where people were setting his stuff on fire. What do you do when this guy keeps coming in and doing this? Do you personally confront him? Then what happens? Then half you Republicans, he shouldn't have confronted the man.
I have a buddy named Ray Breyers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.